but remember, let me take this opportunity to greet everyone, hoping that you have been with your constituencies this weekend, and at least you're supposed to be fresh. You know what? When you are with your constituents, you are not stressing. So everybody is happy and ready to start this work which is in front of us. Today we have our own visitors. They are led by the leader, Andile Mofu, who's the president. And then, president, we are with your delegation that will tell us who are they, and they will try to touch them. Today, the first thing in the agenda, we suppose, the minutes are still not with us. Through these so many documents, the official forgot the set of minutes on her desk. Let's save this thing of minutes. But honorable members, do you want any other thing in the agenda? Can we adopt our agenda with an understanding that the minutes will read after after our presentation of SANAP? Honorable Abrahams, Honorable Bergman, Honorable Manana.
Good morning. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The agenda be adopted, and as you say, the minutes will be read later. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Please.
I'll second that. Although, if we can also, because of the minutes not being there, we can just discuss the deadline for the Limpopo having to move this court's equipment has come now. So, if we just have a follow up on that.
Yes, maybe after the briefing, when we're doing our own in house, we're taking that. Thank you. Honorable Manan.
Thanks, Chairperson. I also support that you must read the minutes after.
President, this is time that I've said we do welcome you. We're hoping for the best. I've heard that we are new president, new from the box. Fortunately, we are going to meet with the new committee, new from the box. So, but I'm suspecting that whilst we are new, you will take us to. We don't know anything about SANAP. We are reading documents and listening. We don't want to think that we know SANAP. Even those minutes that I've seen, they even gave us the last minutes of the last committee. So I've seen on those minutes what you were complaining, SANAP, about the budget that is coming. There's this thing of dumping of budget. It's a pity we have an official from our office of the minister. I didn't consult because I've got those minutes saying that maybe today will be telling us good stories, not it dumping, that you are getting your monies in time. Nikki, thank you so much.
Honorable Chair and honorable members as well, it is a pleasure to be making a presentation before the committee. As the Honorable Chair rightly said so, that we are a new kid on the block. However, being a new kid on the block does not mean that we have not been in boxing for some time. I don't know whether, Honorable Chair, before I start, if we can get the slides up on the board. I think was maybe we're waiting for that. I can just quickly introduce the committee. Next to me is Ms. Prilipo Tetsi. She is our Secretary General. She comes from Dundee in KZN. Next on her right is Mr. Ezekiel Shaswa. He is the Treasurer of SANABO. He comes from Velcom at Tabong. On his right is Mr. Pete Kruger, who is the Vice President of SANABO, and he hails from Pretoria. And the person talking right now is Andile Mofu, the President of SANABO, coming from the Eastern Cape, just outside King Williamstown, but I'm based now in Johannesburg. Maybe I can just get I'll give a heads up first, in the sense that the documents that you have in front of you, we noticed that this morning that they are really scattered. A comprehensive document is the one that the Honorable Chair has got, but the presentation will try and summarize all the documents that you have in front of you. So the presentation will actually help a lot in terms of getting those documents sorted out. So I don't know whether I can just pause for the time being, Honorable Chair, up until we get the PowerPoint on board.
I'm suspecting that if we have maybe a summary of PowerPoint with us, we can start. I don't think that we have ample time that we can wait. People are still going to their offices. With your respect, Honorable Members, give me direction. I'm somebody who doesn't want to bulldoze the meeting. I want that members must be happy on what I'm just saying. I was saying that can you take us through, because even this Bible, I arrived this morning, it was put on front of my desk. It's going not to assist me to say that it don't start. Lele, to my members, can we start without this PowerPoint? They are nodding.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We are very sorry about that. We don't know what happened, but let's start.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. The content of the documents that you have in front of you, it will actually be projects, competition, that is the local as well as international, ethics as well as medical report, and then our business stroke development plan, and then minutes of our last AGM as well as council, and then the finances as well as year calendar. And then what I wanted to first of all do for the committee was to talk about the SANABO structure. What is happening is that this organization is affiliated to AIBA, AIBA being our international organization or the association that is on top of us, that is the world body. Then from there, we are then affiliated to AFBC, which is the African Boxing Confederation. And then from there, we are actually affiliated to the Zone 4, which is now the SADC countries, 14 of the SADC countries. And then it's us as a national federation. Then below us, we have got SANABO structures in all 9 provinces. And then below the provinces, then we've got districts. And then below the districts, then we've got municipalities, which then encompass all clubs in the various areas within South Africa. Our vision is to be the continental and world leader in sport of open boxing, enabling South Africa to excel with medal-winning success at the Olympics. Now, Honorable Chair, I just want to also clarify this issue, that many people understand us as amateur boxing. Because in South Africa, you have got two bodies. You've got BSA, which is Boxing South Africa, which is professional boxing, and then you have us as amateur boxing. But we are no longer called amateur boxing anymore. We are now open boxing. The main reason for this is that when we came into being in 2013, we had to take our constitution and send it to AIBA for approval. So AIBA has done away with the name amateur, because amateur in nature means that you are an unprofessional in doing your business. So they took that away. Then from amateur, we went into Olympic-style boxing. Then even Olympic, the word or name Olympic was done away with for simple reason that the IOC came about and said anyone who actually uses the name Olympic should actually be paying back those royalties. Yes, so then we did away with Olympics. So at the end of the day now, we are open boxing. That is what we are called, open boxing. Open in the sense of, it's really open now. Previously, we had categories where you would say you've got the junior, the youth, and then the elite, which was then the senior. So the ages now is actually between 18 to 40. So you can still box as an amateur in the word that you understand. And then the other category now is we have school boys and girls, which is 12 to 14. We have the juniors, which is 16 to 17. Then we've got now the youth, which is 17 to 18, and then 19 to 40. Then that is your elite. So I just wanted to just bring that forward, because when I talk about open boxing, so that you don't get lost, because open boxing is what we used to call amateur boxing. Just a basic overview of what happened in 2014. We came into being on the 30th of November 2013, and we set as the executive to strategize and put forward plans for 2014. And in 2014, I'm just happy to say in summary that our boxers were involved in many international tournaments. We sent a team to the youth games, that is youth as well as women in Algeria in March. Then in April, we were involved in the zonal championships. And then in May, we were involved in the Anoka games in Botswana. And then in June, we were involved in the 5th Africa Cup, which was held here in South Africa. And then the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. And then we sent a team of the youth boxers in Bulgaria, and which they were to qualify for the youth Olympics in China. Now, starting from the beginning of 2014, I'm happy to say that South Africa is now the champions in the SADC countries, that is now the Zone 4. And our boys, the youth that represented us in Gaborone, Botswana, one came with a medal, a gold, and then the other one with a bronze. And the 5th Africa Cup, which was for the first time to be held in South Africa, we hosted this in East London at the Orient Theatre. We had about 13 countries from all over Africa that came to participate in the 5th Africa Cup. And I'm happy to say that South Africa is number 2 after Algeria in terms of our status in Africa. Then we went on to say we need to have boxers in the Commonwealth Games. We sent 6 boxers in the Commonwealth Games. And I'm happy to say that at least we got one medal, a bronze medal by Thulane Mbenge from Tanzania. And out of 6, most of our boxers did not go through the quarterfinals. They all sort of fell short to go into the semifinals, except for Thulane Mbenge. Now, that actually took us back to 1998, because in 1998 we were able to get one bronze medal, and then 2002 in the Commonwealth Games it was one silver and two bronze, and then 2006 it was one gold and one silver. So that is what actually transpired last year in terms of our year calendar. The boys that you see there are actually the boys that won medals in the Anoka Games in Zimbabwe, Bulawayo, in 2014. Looking at our strategic plan moving forward, Sport and Recreation South Africa has six goals in its 2012 to 2016 strategic plan, namely citizens accessing sport and recreation activities, a transformed sport and recreation sector, our athletes achieving international success, an integrated system of enablers supporting the delivery of sport and recreation, sport being used as a tool to support relevant government priorities, and an efficient and effective sport and recreation South Africa. Now, for Sports Recreation South Africa to achieve its goals, as mentioned above, it needs to work in partnership with provincial departments, SASCOC, national federations, NGOs, as well as SANAVO, and SANAVO is no exception. The role of Sports Recreation South Africa and the mandate it gives SASCOC needs to be tightened, with clear roles and responsibilities being delineated and adhered to. Now, given this strategic plan, all national federations in receipt of funding are expected to operate in a democratic and transparent manner and display all elements of good corporate governance. Effective governance places greater demands upon SANAVO executives, with the aim of improving the operations of SANAVO as a whole, helping it to obtain its goals and meet the needs of stakeholders. Now, given this, I just want to tackle quickly the SANAVO Constitution. Our Constitution aligns to the Constitution of the Republic in the sense that Clause 1.3 of SANAVO Constitution refers, the provisions of this Constitution are founded upon and shall be implemented and administered in the recognition of human dignity, equality, and the advancement of human rights and freedom, non-racialism, non-sexism, and the right of freedom of organization and supremacy of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, the rule of law, as well as the corporate governance. And that is how, at this stage, we are running SANAVO. And also, just to make mention of the fact that our Constitution is also aligned to SASCOC as well, as we can see there. Then, thirdly, it is also aligned to AIIBA, which is our international federation. Because, if I may, between, as the Honorable Chair was talking about, the minutes of 2012, what transpired was that we are in office for an Olympiad term, which is 4 years. And the previous executive was in the office for I don't know how many years. But at the end of the day, what happened was that many people, in other words, our constituencies showed or they were not satisfied with how things were happening. As a result, in 2012, we had our first elections where this executive was elected, and then after that, some members were not happy about the results. As a result, SANAVO was suspended by AIIBA for plus minus 8 months. So the only activity we had in 2013 was the Zonal Championships, which was in Botswana, 2013. And our team came tops. But immediately after that, SANAVO was suspended by AIIBA, citing external interference, meaning that according to the AIIBA statutes and bylaws, the government, the SASCOC, cannot interfere whatsoever in what we are doing. because SANAVO is, in inverted commas, an independent body. And therefore, when SASCOC was involved in trying to resolve the issues or the impasse, then some people actually wrote to AIPA to say that they are not happy with the results of the elections, and SANAVO was then suspended. So our role was very simple in the sense of we had to call the then executive around the table, and we then formed an interim committee. Sorry. The interim committee then facilitated new elections, which took place on the 30th of November. And after the 30th of November, everybody was happy with the results. We sent our structure to AIPA, and it was accepted. SASCOC, it was accepted. The sports rec, it was accepted. So at the end of the day, effectively, we came into being on the 30th of November, 2013. Looking at corporate governance, the term governance in our understanding describes the process of running SANAVO, making decisions, as well as to ensure proper accountability. To be an effective and accountable organization, SANAVO needs to ensure that it has got good governance arrangements in place. And I think in your handouts there is a document that was accepted and approved by the council as a document that will guide us through corporate governance. The basic principles of this document or governance in SANAVO context include accountability, openness, integrity, as well as appropriate communication channels. It is just a pity that I cannot show the honorable members this slide that I wanted to show you, but this slide encompasses an operation roadmap that we have put in place. This operation roadmap encompasses the constitution as well as AIPA statutes and bylaws as the head, and then just below that is actually the boxes, and then you've got functions or can I say processes which then have got functions, so to say. The first process being the committee, management committee, then the second one being the commissions, then the third one being the product management, and then operational support and revenue. And under management committee, what we have as steps to actually achieve the process is human resources, finance, marketing, strategy and commit, external relations, infrastructure, commissions, as well as high performance. And then under the second one, a process, we're talking about commissions because we need to have these commissions as it is designated by AIPA, the athletes youth commission, the coaches, the ethics, technical and rules, the medical, represent judges, as well as the women commission. So we've got those in place already. And then in terms of the other two processes, product management and operational support and readiness and revenue, what we actually envisage is to say, if we leave office after 2016, because that is when our term actually ends, is to actually being able to hand over an organization which is working, an organization that is in operation. Currently, what we have tried to do is that our structure, as it is only the four of us right now, but we also have a once in a year a president council meeting whereby we call all the presidents of the provinces around the table, and we have our meeting. It's like an extended executive meeting. What we envisage beyond 2016 is to actually this organization to have a president, a vice president, a secretary, a treasurer, an expert on finance. Now, this is not to say that the treasurer is not familiar with what is happening in the organization, but at the end of the day, we are of the opinion that if you recruit experts on board, then you will be able to then comply with corporate governance. We have got that person on board, a legal expert. I'm happy to say that Advocate Kwaba Bana from the Western Cape is part and parcel of SANAVO. Then for our tournaments, we have a supervisor, a referee and judge, evaluator, asset manager, a medical expert, Dr. Mkwanazi, who is actually at military hospital in Pretoria, is actually the chairperson of our medical commission. And this year in January, we had a successful commission's workshop in Port Elizabeth, where we managed to recruit about six doctors. So we've got about six doctors on board. Then computer scoring, announced our website manager. The website at this stage in terms of marketing, we have had dealings now with a company that will be looking at our website, that will be doing all the marketing for Sanabo. So I'm happy to say that we have made strides in as far as that is concerned. And then we have a development coach at national level, and then CPOs, which is child protection officers. The main reason for having CPOs is that at times, especially at club level, you have people that do not have the know-how of how to actually deal with kids, especially girls. So we want these people to be actually there in the clubs to ensure that the kids are safe and sound. Then venue manager, marketing administrator, commission, as well as national coaches, we've got that. But at this present moment, maybe Honourable Chair, I will take you back to those minutes whereby we talk about an administrator. Sanabo, up until now, has not had a full-time staff. We are all volunteers as we're sitting here. I'm working, she is working, they are all working. And to come here, we have to take leave, so to say. And it's putting a strain on the operations of the organization. However, given the passion that many of our guys, especially even like district level, provincial level, and as I've said, at national level, we don't have any full-time personnel. Then looking at the development programs, in drafting and producing the 2013 to 2016 development roadmap, Sanabo is mindful of the sport and recreation South Africa's six goals mentioned above. Over the last few years, Sanabo has witnessed growth in all areas of sport. When I talk about all areas of sport, I'm mainly looking at, one, our resident judges, our coaches, our clubs, our boxers as well, because we are of the opinion that if you don't capacitate boxers, it means that you won't have any succession plan in place. What we would love to see happening is that some of our boxers that were there in open boxing, we would love to see them coming back and plowing back at their skills after maybe they've finished their career as professional boxers. In order to continue this growth and realize our sports potential, Sanabo is taking the opportunity to consolidate its development programs to ensure a solid foundation for the future growth of open boxing in South Africa. Then our development pillars, as I've just mentioned, what we've done is to establish growth pathways for our boxers, coaches, as well as officials, looking at coaching education and development, referees and judges, education and development, club support and development, boxers education and development, as well as governance. Our development strategy seeks to promote the work of Sanabo on a nationwide basis, secure continued investment and support from our key partners, communicate our strategic aims and direction to our membership for up to 2016, and will form the basis of our detailed individual annual plans. Now, our development is made up of a number of priorities, looking at one, performance, to allow South African open boxers to become world-class, and then development to give South African open boxers, including schoolboys and girls between the ages of 12 to 14, the chance to reach the top of their sport, and then growing participation, increasing club membership numbers, linkage to active schools, and development of school programs to develop a pathway between schools as well as clubs, event development to improve the quality of management of events we stage and to introduce new events, home and international, to the Sanabo calendar, and then coach development to have cutting-edge coaches whose skills and contribution are recognized throughout the performance pathway, and to improve Sanabo's quality of coaching through the development of coaching education, deployment, as well as recruitment of coaches. Then the other priority is actually looking at the residents and judges' development, as I've just said. And then the other aspect is looking at facilities to establish world-class facilities, high performance for our elite boxers to train and to deliver our performance program. Now, this one is actually a sore point in the sense that if we were to compare South Africa against the world beaters, Kazakhstan has now just established a top-of-the-class academy where all the boxers are going there. And this has led to the shift of open boxing in the world. Because in the past, countries like Cuba used to be number one, but not anymore. The East Bloc countries have actually taken over just simply because of facilities as well as funding that goes into open boxing. And then governance as one of the priorities, to develop an organization with clear defined roles, then volunteer development to improve the quality and retention within clubs and nationally, our volunteers, judges, referees, overall membership and general participation in sport. And then women development to increase the participation levels of women and girls at the foundation layer of participation. I think, Honorable Chair, when it comes to women development, I think at this stage, much as it is not enough as yet, but 2014, our main focus was more on women development. As a result, that annually we have about 5 national championships, the one being the youth and the juniors, the other one being the elite, the other one being the school boys and girls, and then the other one being now the women championships. So, but in all these other categories, we have women boxers participating. So they are actually involved in all the championships. Then the other issue that we're looking at is communication, establish transparent communication between executive conferences, districts as well as clubs, branding SANABO, better branding of SANABO, clothing as well as all publications. We will all agree that at this stage, the main source of funding that we have is actually the Department of Sport. And what we have done this year is to try and get ways and means of turning SANABO into a brand. And I'm happy to say that we do have a broadcaster on board. And I won't mention names right now, but when we had our trials this year, this TV station was on board, and you will see now SANABO tournaments being beamed on TV. And as, I think as from September, we will have an 8-series kind of show that you will see, which then assists us in turning SANABO into a brand. Looking at the next topic, which is school sport, bringing boxing back into schools. I think for those people that were involved in boxing at school, you will remember that we used to have a lot of boxing taking place. You would play rugby, you would play soccer, but at the end of the day, you would still play boxing. Open boxing in schools is growing. Boxing encourages discipline, integration, and respect, can help combat obesity, and promotes anti-bullying messages which work for pupils. Now, what have we done as SANABO in terms of school sport? At this stage, last year, we introduced for the first time the category of school boys and girls, ages 12 to 14. And these boxers start from club level, municipalities, districts, as well as provinces. And we are in negotiations right now with Botswana to have an international tournament for them because we need to give them the exposure. So our envisage strategy, Honorable Chair, is to have boxing within the curriculum of especially at that lower level, as part and parcel of the curriculum. And secondly, open boxing as an out-of-school hours activity, in other words, after-school club, as well as to have schools linked with local clubs, because that is where the capacity and education will come into play. So at this stage, what we have done is we have identified schools in all provinces. The little that we can do for those schools is that each province, for example, last year, all provinces identified 5 schools. Then from there, what we did was to then say, we are organizing a workshop for all those sports masters within the schools, or in other words, the teachers, and then bring them around the table and start educating them. Because if they start at a wrong note in terms of training these boxers, then these boxers will not be able to adhere to the rules and regulations. So that is one part. The second part is, even this year, we have identified, provinces have identified 5 schools, and all of these schools are receiving boxing equipment from us. When I say from us, it's actually the support that we get from the Department of Sport, because an amount of 800,000 has been set aside by us to ensure that every year we support the schools. So at this stage, last year we have identified 5 schools per province. Even this year we have identified 5 schools per province. And before the end of April, all those schools that have been identified will actually receive their equipment. And our appeal has been that the schools that need to be looked into especially are the schools that are in the rural areas. Like, for example, last year we gave a school in Kunu a consignment of equipment, and well, the Eastern Cape focused at the OR Tambo, and then other provinces, actually, it was up to them to see as to which areas they want, they had to focus to or in. But the most important thing is that these are the schools that are in the rural areas. And then looking at transformation, open boxing in South Africa is governed by SANAPO, whose objective is to develop, foster, as well as control in all 9 provinces. This open boxing strategy relates both directly and indirectly to a range of national and local government policies and strategies, and national, regional, as well as local, including those shown below. Okay, unfortunately, I can't show you. But what is happening is that at national level, we are looking at our 4-year plan, and then as well as SASCOC, but then at the regional level, we are looking at government programs, sports confederation, as well as academies, and local municipality programs, as well as mass participation. The main reason for this, Honorable Chair, is that because the kind of funding that we get from the Department of Sport only focuses at the operation of SANAPO. All that we are doing or telling our constituencies or stakeholders is that they need to align themselves with development programs that are taking place at regional level as well as local level. So if now, for example, in one district there is mass participation program, we are saying that our boxing structures must also be part and parcel of those programs, because we do not have the luxury of money, so to say. Then looking at SANAPO geopolitical boundaries, the following map depicts the provinces and districts in which SANAPO operates. Those are the districts that we are operating in. But in summary, the next slide was going to summarize the national clubs. In other words, in total we have got, as per November last year, we had about 506 boxing clubs in the Eastern Cape. In the 8 districts, we have 168. in KZN 11 District 104, Gauteng 5 District 71, Free State 5 District 57, Northwest 4 District 8 clubs, Mpumalanga 3 District 24 clubs, Northern Cape 6 Districts 35, Limpopo 5 districts with 10 clubs, and then Western Cape 6 districts with 29, which actually makes a total of 506 clubs. And then looking at the demographics, in terms of the presidents, we have 7 African presidents and 2 white presidents. Secretaries, African 8, white 1, and then one of them is a woman. Full staff we don't have. Part-time employed staff we don't have. Executive members, in total we've got about 45 Africans, and then 13 white, and then out of that is 15 female or women, and then 2 disabled. And then in terms of finance committees, we have got about 8 members in as Africans, and then we've got 1 white. Which actually gives us a total of 68 Africans that are involved, 17 of which are white and 16 of which are women and 2 of which are disabled. Looking at SANABO financial overview, SANABO has got no sponsor, not because of lack of trying. Potential sponsors believe they get more TV and other media exposure with professional boxing, of which it is an issue, because when you talk about boxing, people only understand professional boxing and not open boxing. Sports Recreation South Africa does provide limited funding on annual basis. The problem is that the funds are always received too late to spend the amount of money before the end of the financial year. And this is something that is recurring. However, much as we are saying this, we are still so happy to be getting money from the department, because at least we are able to meet or reach our goals, so to say, irrespective of when, but at least we are able to do that. SANABO is at a distinct disadvantage for funding when compared to the millions of rands that BSA receives annually. Honorable Chair, this is a sore point for us, in the sense that I'm not here trying to shoot BSA down, because BSA has got goals as well as objectives. But at the end of the day, if we were to look at what SANABO is doing, we are more on the development side. And Boxing South Africa actually takes ready products from us. And when you take ready products from us, and you actually say to yourself, like an example now, the boxer that came back from the Commonwealth Games, Tulan Mbenge, we just heard that he has turned professional. And this is a loss to us, in the sense that we have invested a lot of money in developing him, taking him around the world, and then all of a sudden he goes professional and SANABO gets nothing out of what we have invested. And even at provincial level, you find that promoters will get a huge amount of monies, and yet, if you're looking at the numbers in terms of boxers that are participating in this sport, you'll find that 2 million rands goes to a promoter, 2 million rands that is a once-off kind of funding, and the promoter does get another funding same year, and SANABO is expected to do all of its operations with 1.8 million. And that is for a financial year. So there is a disparity. 2012-2013 financial year, we received a sum of 1.6 million rand from SportsRec. And 2013-2014, we received a sum of 101.8 million rands, rather. And the grant that we get is actually divided into two, the guaranteed tier as well as the conditional tier. So the guaranteed tier is looking at our administration, so to say, including meetings, attending meetings, hiring and purchasing of office equipment, affiliation fees, audit fees, and so on. And then the conditional one is mostly looking at, most of the time, good governance, transformation, performance, as well as meeting the criteria of prioritized national federations and the alignment thereof to the NSRP. Looking at the lotto funding, as a new kid on the block, we came on board and we inherited problems, if I may put it that way, from the previous executive, in the sense that there were monies that were paid to SANABO, and we had to deal with the backlog of reports, of which I'm happy to say, Honorable Chair, that that process is now history. We have submitted all the required reports that were required by the Lotto. And at this stage, I don't know whether to say we are in good standing or not, but we have submitted our new application. So we are waiting for their response. In terms of challenges, as I mentioned earlier on, the following aspects are some of the barriers to a successful SANABO: full-time personnel. But I must say, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that SANABO is where it is today because of volunteers, just because of the passion for the sport. Adequate funding to achieve set priorities, capacity building, facilities, our boxers turning professional prematurely, as well as sponsors. In conclusion, the base of volunteers is a key aspect to open boxing, and the challenge facing boxing is to maintain and grow it. I thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, President. I'm suspecting that others will help you in answering questions, or do you think that there's anyone who wants to add on your presentation, President?
I don't know. I will just ask my committee members.
If they want to do so, or they have said it all. Honorable members, this is the time that we must engage in the presentation. Honorable Abrams, Honorable Bergman, Honorable Magadze, Honorable Moose, Honorable Manana, Honorable the Whip, thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you. And also thank you to the President for the information. Thank you. Yes, first of all, I want to ask what constitutes an African, because I see myself as an African, and I've noted that in your presentation you've mentioned quite that as white and as African, as white and as African. And lucky, my passion for disabled, I heard too disabled too. But I want you to tell me what is an African, because I think many of us sitting here around the table are Africans. I was born in South Africa, and so I see myself as an African. Please.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. Okay.
No. Then also, on the just a moment, we cannot take an individual question, write down, and then you will be responding, President. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Then also on the financials, I heard you saying that there's no full-time personnel and the volunteers are key. Then lucky coaches, they 672,000 is reflecting on their salary, so they're the only people that's been paid. Then the venues that you hire, how many venues did you actually use? 544,000 was spent on that. And then if you can also tell us who the honoraria, who received that. Because when we have volunteers, we don't see people getting money. And then why haven't you collected any subscription fees? Don't people, how do they affiliate? Don't they pay? So, and you know, what's the benefit if you don't affiliate? And if you affiliate, what's the benefit? Then on the school project, how far is the process going in the pilot project? And then also what has the cost been for this pilot project? And did you take it to all the districts or just certain provinces? And what lessons did you learn and how can you improve on that? And when will this program fully be developed? Thank you. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you. I must say that I think the best model that you get is when the executives don't get paid, because then you know that they're doing the job passionately. But it is a shame, because sometimes you want to remunerate good or reward good work. So you know, it mustn't be an indication of how well or how bad you worked or the salary, but I sometimes think that a lot of our organizations, we pay a lot and we don't get the returns. And for me, I'm worried here, because I agree with you as the president in what you're saying, that we've got two organizations. It's almost the soccer parable of PSL and SAFA. The one develops the players, gets the players going, gets the players all kitted out and contracted and what have you, and then the other comes and poaches from a lovely pool of people, and they're the ones getting the money for it, and they're the ones that get the glory. So of course the sustainability in the model has to be questioned, though. Is how committed would someone like you and your staff be, when I say staff, your volunteers be, when you sit here watching this all the time and you really, you keep on banging your head against the wall, asking for money, trying to get things working, and you're really doing it, as you say, as a part-time job. So how do we make it sustainable? The second part of this then is the schools, which I'm passionate about, is trying to, you know, not much budget should be spent from your side in trying to get schools to do their jobs. And to do their jobs is to get children participating. Now, the focus, I've always said, in this committee is that education-wise, I think the school should be responsible for getting the children involved in sports. We should be responsible in giving the backup, so it's giving the coaches, the, you know, ensuring the facilitation of equipment. But something I need to understand, on your strategy documents, if I take you to page, to the executive summary, you say here in the third paragraph, the role of SRSA and the mandate it gives SASCOC needs to be tightened, with clear roles and responsibilities being delineated and adhered to. There shows, I dare to say, a little bit of a bitterness or a little bit of a, something's not right in this relationship. And you know, sometimes we get SASCOC glorified as the heroes here. I'd like to know, right, you know, without any dressing up, without anything, just pure honest, where are the problems here in this relationship, and how can we try and fix it? Yes, we failed in the Olympics. I think we failed in the Commonwealth, and to say that we'll be all right in 2 years' time, or hopefully be all right, you've got our backing in trying to be all right. But, you know, it is a tall order. I just want to refer you to one more page. Sorry. In the financial statements, you had a dedicated women's desk. And I take it senior focus is on trying to promote women's boxing, which again, you know, all credit to you guys for really trying to take the gender issues and become more gender sensitive. Although, you know, we had the loss of life in terms of the licensing, you know, was it a licensing issue, and under which organization was the issue? People had resigned from the women's desk. In fact, there were two women working at the women's desk. They had resigned. Is there still a women's desk, and does anyone work on that women's desk? And then just the last document, the Team South Africa, the youth games, the feedback. In terms of your responses, again, I take it was your responses where you were never invited to this. There was no training, and you know, the athletes, some of them arrived at X, Y, and Z. How much input does SASCOC have in trying to facilitate for you these smooth landings? That if there's training to be had, or if there's venues to be scouted, or if there's anything that's, that the Federation needs, how much can you rely on SASCOC, and how much does SASCOC come to the party for you? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My question is in relation to the up to now non-existent programs for boxing in schools, and to try and understand, you know, why it has taken up to until recently for an intervention to be made for the sport to be played there. But also, even in that program, it's silent on universities and institutions of learning, you know, as to what is the thinking that goes into there. Is it a lost cause, or are there interventions going forward to try and make it an available sport in there? But I also just want to get into how you view your success in terms of preparation and participation in Commonwealth Games. I mean, you know, in this document, there's over 2,000 amateur male boxers. And obviously that number is way higher than the number of boxers we sent to the Commonwealth Games. But boxing is one sport where there's always hope for a medal or two. And whether the fact that we got one medal is a fair representation of the effort that goes into the preparation of our boxers into that competition. But also to check, in relation to your financial status, that something just looks rather extraordinary to me in terms of, and maybe there's positive news in there, that in terms of international competitions, the figure rose from 1756 in 2012 to 119,750 in 2013. Was it the number of more athletes you were sending? Was it that in relation to the number of athletes you were sending to competitions? And if so, can you just illustrate what was the size of those teams and what was the outcome? If the increase was because we were sending increased number of teams to increased number of competitions, and whether did, you know, what were the accolades that we got in terms of results? And also the figure for travel, and I just want to make sure that this is, I've read this correctly. It says travel for local rose from 60,227 to just over 600,000. And again, that looks extraordinary, you know, and maybe is as you've gotten more busier, you've had to do more work and travel. But I don't want to presume without a context. So if you can provide a context in there, what is the correlation between that rise and your own activities and the output? And I find it interesting that you kind of like lamented the fact that SASCOC prepares these amateur boxers, to say, and I use that very loosely, and they suddenly turn professional and somehow doesn't get the thing. And maybe that's meant to be corrected, but isn't that what the role of SASCOC should be, nurturing raw talent so that it prepares it to be ready for professional athletes, for them to compete as professional boxers? Shouldn't we be looking at ways that in between SANABO is a boxing body and the professional boxing body that is boxing South Africa, looking at more synergy rather than lamenting it? Because I don't think an aspirant professional would want to remain a permanent amateur. And maybe that might just be my misdiagnosis of the situation. But, you know, if one is an amateur boxer and is truly ambitious, they'd want to turn professional. And maybe in the past there's been loopholes about what should SANABO extract out of the way the investment in terms of time and resources that he has done in supporting this athlete. But also let's be cognizant that that support from SANABO also isn't just individually based. It's also into support that has been provided through funding from government and also from the lottery. So I just want to understand your thinking about that loss of talent from amateur status into professional status and how it can be measured better. Maybe I didn't understand your synopsis of that situation. But also to try and understand, you know, what is SANABO's vision? I mean, I get the presentation about it laments a lot about what went wrong and kind of like captures the status of where we are. But you're almost halfway into your term of election, and I mean your term of office. if we, I were to put the question that what is the one fundamental change that if you had all the resources you needed and if you had all the time you could have got, what would you change about the current status? And whether is it time to look at the constitutional provisions, the mandate of SANABO, does it need to be overhauled? Does the relationship between SANABO vis-a-vis SASCOC, vis-a-vis Boxing South Africa, which is a point that my colleague touched on briefly, needs to be overlooked for SANABO to reach its full potential? And what are the immediate steps that can be done? Thanks, Chair.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, quickly, I just want to understand and perhaps be clarified so that in future when I speak of this organization, I know what I'm talking about. You indicated, President, that you are no more a match. You are open boxing. But in your presentation, you kept on referring to Amateur at times, Open, and I'm actually not sure of which is which. Because, you know, for my understanding is that it's Amateur not because it is running certain things, you know, unprofessionally, but it is Amateur because it has got much to do with people who are still, you know, new in this type of game. So that's my understanding. But I'm trying to check when would you perhaps be changing this to maybe SANOBA perhaps South African National Open Boxing whatever. That's because I want to be straight. I want to be sure when I speak about this thing. But the other question that I want to check, and I'm glad that you are involved in development and improving boxing in schools. I'm just curious to know the type of equipment that you give to schools, and perhaps if you can cost them. The other question here is President is worried that some boxes are sort of ditching you for professional boxing. And then I'm not sure, you are a member of AIBA, you said. What is their, you know, their input in as far as this is concerned? Because this has been happening and it's going to happen. It's going to recur. Don't you perhaps think of an instance whereby there would be some kind of an agreement in between you and professional boxing, whereby, you know, there is maybe a smooth transition, you know, of a boxer from this to that. You'll comment on that. And then my last question, Chair, is that not all provinces are good in as far as amateur boxing or have got a good relationship with you as SANABO. Some are not doing well. For instance, I'm from the Northwest. In certain parts of my province where there is absolutely nothing in that. How do you help such provinces? And thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I would like to welcome your presentation, President. First thing, I just want to find out, as you have already mentioned about your negative, I can say your negative participation, like as I'm coming from Mpumalanga, boxing is also affected negatively in that province. Nothing. So what is your intervention? Like as 2012-2013, the Mpumalanga province was also suspended siding with for 8 months due to ethical stance. siding with either. So there is this MBO. The MBO and the other one is ABC. Because these infightings, they are also affecting the participants, or I can say the promoters are also get affected. Because the AV boxing club, the owner, which is Sasha hasn't got a license. I don't know if he does have license now as I'm talking, because how can Sasha operate hosting tournaments without the license? And the SMLE boxing, this ABC is getting funds while they are not holding licenses. But the MBO, I mean the MBO with the top five, you know, the Lance, Wesley Lance, who getting the top five of Mpumalanga in boxing. He's sometimes getting no funds, but the person who's not holding any license getting funds, and these top five with medals, getting participating in the Sanabo champion, they're getting nothing. So what is your another question? How is your relationship between Sascoc, the Sanabo and Sascoc? Okay, my last question. Sanabo's constitution, the current constitution was adopted in November 2013, and there were issues that were reviewed in September 2014. The president agreed with setup of the commission task. There were no time frames and time of references that were agreed upon. What are the constitutional matters that were to be reviewed, and for how long? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable, the
thank you, Chair. We also welcome the presentation. The problem of boxing, particularly the tension between professional and amateur, has been happening even during the time of boom in boxing, when boxing was still televised. And even then, during the 80s, early 80s, during the time of boom, the international boom in particular, there is a tension between them and professional boxing at that level. And I think that is why we remain with the problem for years to come. But I thought it is natural that the relationship like PSL, Professional Soccer League, and SAFA, because SAFA is supposed to be still responsible for the development of soccer. My suspicion is that it might have to do with bodies that are rushing, even at the international level. You can see that that clash, that tension, now comes to our own level. Because, I mean, the suspension has been that 2030 of Sanabo. She says a regard of perceived intervention, interference from SASCO, which is a body that is charged with preparation in South Africa for Olympics. But you get suspended for perceived interference. So there is much that particularly South Africans, we might just be sure that we have a boxing endeavor to ensure that we also transform international goods. The second point that I want to make is around the provinces. Honorable Manana has already touched on the parallel structures, but the organization of provinces, are you satisfied that the provinces are properly organized and that there is growth? My colleagues have already touched around the issue of schools, because I mean it's a grey area there. The third point is around yourself not having full-time staff, even one. I mean, how are you going to be sustainable? How are you going to grow your brand without a single person working full-time? Maybe the result of these parallel structures that are emerging, they've seen the market and you remain not taking opportunities that are there because of not having full-time capacity. The point around Thulani Mbenke, who was being stipends for Thulani Mbenke, because the headline over the weekend was Sasco wants their money back. So who was paying? Is it you? Where do you, are you giving Boxer stipends? Because I saw in your presentation you touched that. Who pays the Open Boxer stipends? Is it Sasco? Is it you? And then what is the value add of AIBA to ourselves in terms of development of boxing as well? You didn't say anything about aligning to National Sport and Recreation Plan. You didn't touch it all together, because at the moment all federations aligning to that plan, because that plan was adopted by all sporting bodies. My colleagues have touched other areas.
Thank you. Before I've raised a few questions, Honorable Musa.
Oh, okay, Chairperson. No, this is in actual fact not a question, Chair. It is just a concern that perhaps maybe to the president you are in storage would not look at us as people who are just here to come and bombard you with questions, but that we are also a portfolio committee that is here when you know there is a cry. I heard Chairperson, and I'm pleading with the Chairperson, that there is this little 1.8, which to me is a pittance to run an organization as big as this one. And I'm just pleading with honorable members and Chairperson that perhaps we might help in speaking to Lotto, as you have applied. You indicated that to speed it up and just on their behalf, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. I know everyone who's serving this committee, they are having a passionate about the sport of each and every code. You nearly touch everything, but let me appreciate President and also having a disappointment of the resignation of that women desk, maybe because my colleague has already asked why, because we're doing a very, very important thing, that sometimes we don't have time to sit in the kitchen as women long ago, but it was just a cultural thing that even those who are responsible for culture, they are now, since this democracy, knowing that we have got a role to play in every sphere of governance, in every structures of government after a democracy. Our hoping that whatever they make them to resign, maybe it's this problem that you may have a desk that there's no office, no administration, who's taking care of themselves. But also I'm emphasizing this thing of initially I was going to ask, apart from the department that is giving that legal peanuts that we are having, was having legally budget also as this department. I'm hearing that your process to ULOTO you have forwarded. ULOTO is one other entity that is sitting with us. We'll check. We don't want to interfere, but would love that this SANABO, who's open boxing today, must get an assistance, because some of us, majority of these members, I don't care even if we are not in the rural areas presently, but we're coming all from our rural areas. Our forefathers, they were there, let alone now that we're living in cities. I would love, SANABO, that you must say more about the rural boxers. How do you get assist them? How do you find them? In this school, the rural schools, do you go there and what is your plan about that? But I'm worried about the parallel structure. If we are saying that OBSA is creating that whilst there is this SANABO, and then maybe we don't know, we'll hear even from themselves, but if you can tell what were the reasons that they must issue another license whilst already there was a license, maybe it was their right, but if you can tell what was the explanation. And you know, in this problem of school sport, we know that there are drugs involved in athletes and in every sport. As I'm sitting here, this committee gave me a permission to go and distribute a kit. I was having SAIDS with me. It was so interesting that SAPS, they did come in that presentation. First, before we've done anything, they were presented the drug problems in schools. They were carrying their dogs. They were showing us, some of us, they were showing us even how the drugs are started in your house. As honorable members, some of us, it was very scary that it started at your door. You must check if you don't see some stuff that you were not even knowing that these things are starting just in our bedrooms. I wanted to say, how do you deal? And because some of schools are having a problem that even the staff there, these police who are doing with drugs, they were saying that they do have a problem of that school principal not wanting them to test their kids. If you can say something on that. According to your presentation, there is this pilot school project. You have about 6 provinces, and it was 2012 to 2013. This is too long, and I didn't hear you saying what are the progress and what are your challenges and what are you going to do about the remaining provinces. I've seen in the presentation I was perusing that there are even challenges in these six provinces, but you didn't elaborate about it. And I do understand in some of your notes you have said you held a meeting with UDG regarding this thing of open boxing in Daba. And I want to say, how was your meeting? And when is your next in Daba? I'm suspecting that that's all from me, because a lot of things members have raised them. When you were introduced to me, you were said, whilst they are saying this is a new committee, we're saying we're new from the box also, but we know you that you are just new by holding the office, that office which has got no administration. We are an office who doesn't have an administrator. We don't know how are you handling it. These questions are for us that we must understand what is this SANAPO, what is this open boxing, and how SASCOC, as they have said, SASCOC, our department is assisting you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will try my level best to give as much answers as possible, and I'm sure my colleagues as well will assist wherever possible. First of all, Chair, I just want to appreciate the questions coming from the honorable members. The main reason for appreciating the questions is that the process of restoring the status of SANAPO is a long one. And the most important aspect is that coming before this committee actually helps us to look at SANAPO from outside. That is why I'm really appreciating the questions. Looking at the first group of questions to the honorable member in terms of the African, it's not used in any other way other than us taking statistics from the EPG forms that we got from the Department of Sport in terms of demographics. So it's not used in any other way. And if it happens that I presented it totally differently, I apologize, but it's not meant in any other way. In terms of coaches' payment, what happens here is that when you have a training camp, you're taking boxers away from school, you're taking coaches away from their jobs, just because you want to ensure that these boxers do perform. So what we normally do is to give, in inverted commas, an allowance for them to be able to buy things like toiletries, being able to phone home and stuff like that. But it's not full-time payment, is just when we have training camps. Okay. Then in terms of venues, what happens is that when we have national championships, when we have provincial championships, SANAPO does assist at times in terms of hiring venues. And we also have, as I said, restoring the status of SANAPO required us to be visible in all provinces. And this would then mean venues with regards to meetings and so on. So it's really to do with that. And I must be honest, honorable member, in the sense that when you have sleepless nights because you want to ensure that the kids do perform, one most important aspect is that you try by all means to ensure that people that you invite to a meeting, in inverted commas, are as comfortable as possible. So that is one thing. Honoraria, This is something that we have taken out of our constitution because the previous executive had this as a constitutional item whereby at the end of the year, during the AGM, they would, I won't say award themselves, but it would be a question of saying, depending on the performance of SANAPO at that particular moment, then the council would then award them certain amount of monies for the work that they have done. But we have honestly taken this out of our constitution. It's no longer there. Subscriptions, affiliations, and by boxers and by coaches, officials, provinces, that is done. But I'm not quite sure whether it is it there? Under revenue, it is there. So the provinces do pay affiliations and boxers do subscribe as well. Then in terms of the pilot project for the schools, as I said earlier on, we just came on board last year, and I mean 2013, and what is happening is that the schools project was introduced to us last year. And as the Honorable Chair said earlier on, in terms of 2014, we managed to service only 6 provinces. And in this year, what we are looking at is to service all the provinces in terms of the equipment. So there is the school's program rather that takes place, I think, annually, and boxing is not included in that, but 2015 boxing will be included in that. However, I must make mention of the fact that much as it is the national program, what SANAPO is doing is that if you're looking at all the categories that we are talking about, juniors, the youth, the elite, school boys and girls, all of these boxers are actually at school. And in a way, we are servicing school boxing much as it is club-based at this stage. I think I will expatiate more later on. In terms of the volunteers, the Honorable Member, I think we really appreciate your sentiments. It is a rocky road when you are a volunteer, and the secretary here would work from 7:30 to 4:30, and then she would say, now I am working for SANAPO. This takes away family time and a lot of things. So we appreciate that. The relationship between SASCOC and Sports Recreation South Africa in terms of clear roles. What is happening is that at times you will find that you get development programs from the department, you get development programs from SASCOC, and you sit in the middle and you don't know who is who in the zoo. Maybe, I'm not talking on their behalf, but once these roles are not clearly defined, at the end of the day, the person that suffers is us. SASCOC's role is mainly focusing on performance, and the department is mainly focusing on development stroke performance. And that is why I'm saying that maybe these roles need to be clearly defined so that we know who is saying what and who is saying what. But maybe I don't want to expatiate more on that. But But what actually happens is, right now, we have boxers that are on OPEX, right? It's two boxers right now, except for Thulani. How we get measured is development as well as performance. We are expected to produce medals from Commonwealth Games, Olympics. Sports Rec, on the other side, will want us to see, they will want to see on black and white as to how many medals you have produced. But when you talk about high performance, you are actually talking about SASCOC. And out of these number of boxers, if you have got two boxers or three boxers on OPEX, it means that you as the organization have to carry the budget for international participation, and yet we are not given money for international participation. Our money that we get from the department is mainly on, as I said earlier, on development and so on, so that we don't get money for high performance. So that's what I'm trying to say here. So I think also in terms of the role of SASCOC, that's what I've just said, it's mainly to do with high performance. Schools program, at university level, as the organization, we've got two associate members. One, it is the SANDF, and two, it is USA, which is the university, at university level. So USA, being our associate member, and the SANDF, what we are busy doing right now is to create a mirror within these two institutions. In other words, development of their referees and judges, coaches, and so on. Because at the end of the day, they also abide by our rules and regulations. So within the universities, we do have an institution which is called USA, and USA does fit in our meetings as well. Like, for example, the upcoming meeting now in East London, they will also be there as an associate member. The SANDF will be there as well as an associate member. The preparation for Commonwealth, in terms of number of boxers, what is happening is that 2014 in Glasgow, we had six boxers. It was five males and one female. The selection criteria that is set by SASCOC is in such a manner that in one particular event, you might only be able to send one boxer or two boxers. An example is, if we are talking now in terms of sending a team to the Olympics, a selection criteria that has been put in place is in such a manner that we may as well close business if we talk about 2016. Because for us to be able to participate in Rio 2016, our boxers have to qualify in the World Championships, which is a mammoth task. Now, AIBA has set a criteria in the sense that our boxers can qualify through continental tournaments. In other words, a continental qualification. But SASCOC on one side has set the criteria to that only unless you have participated in the World Championships and brought back a credible medal. Now, we might be talking about 2016, but at the end of the day, as we sit here, we are being realistic in the sense that between now and 2016 qualifications, we have to work as hard as possible. That's the issue. And also, if you are talking about the Youth Commonwealth Games that are coming up now in Samoa, the criteria that has been given to us is that we are only given two spaces. In other words, we can only send two boxers. And the main reason for that that has been given to us is that there is no enough accommodation in Samoa. So we are only given two boxers. The traveling, honorable member, I think you alluded to 60 to 127, I think. I think, as I said earlier on, what we had to do was to embark on a process of restoring the status of Sanabo, and that led to us having meetings in the provinces, and something that we was approved by the President's Council was to start embarking on a roadshow in provinces to try and settle issues that are happening in provinces, and I think the Honorable two members have actually mentioned that. In terms of SASBOC to prepare boxers for professional boxing, SASBOC as an Olympic committee member cannot prepare boxers for professional because of the rules and regulations and bylaws of AIBA. As I said, when we were suspended due to the fact that SASBOC was involved. For the sake of the country, one wants to see world champions. But unfortunately, as an Olympic code that is against our rules and regulations, in other words, for us as Sanabo to prepare boxers for profit, we know that actually happens. But we cannot have that as a vision or as an aim for us to produce boxers for Olympic, for professional boxing, because that will be against the rules. Between Sanabo and Boxing South Africa, I must say, with now the new chairperson, Ms. Ndambi Revere, we have had informal discussions in terms of normalizing the relationship between Sanabo as well as Boxing South Africa. There was a memorandum of understanding that was signed, and the informal meeting between myself and her was to sit down and revisit the memorandum of understanding, because one of the issues that we really wanted to hammer on was that Boxing South Africa, before anybody turns professional, I'll make an example of Thulani. Before Thulani could turn professional, Boxing South Africa needs to check with Sanabo to say, are you releasing Thulani Mbenge to turn professional? And if that is the case, then what are the monies that need to exchange hands in terms of reimbursing us for the development? Now, the memorandum of understanding that was there was that an amount of 250, if I'm not mistaken, was to be paid by the promoter to Sanabo to say, thank you for the talent. But that was then. But as I'm saying right now, we have informally discussed with Ms. Ndambi Revere to say that we must revisit the memorandum of understanding so that there are no conflict or conflict of interest between the two organizations. If I had money, what would I change? And time. Honorable Chair, that is an interesting question, in the sense that if you were to give me money now, first thing, I would employ these people on full-time basis. Secondly, I will ensure that the provinces themselves have got full-time personnel. Thirdly, I will ensure that the districts have got full-time personnel. So at this stage, say, if you were to give me money now, I would be saying, by 2020, I would be giving you a Sanabo that, as I've said here, beyond 2016, that would actually be in place. A structure that would maybe running as SASA, a structure that would be maybe running as cricket, a structure that would be may be running as rugby, because I assume these have got the money to be able to run their processes. But at this stage, I will be open and honest to you to say, yes, if you were to give me money, those are some of the things that I would actually put in place. But more specifically, my number one customer is the boxer. And most of the money would be invested in boxing. So I want to say at this stage, that would be my dream. So to say, I won't have a clear answer, so to say. But if you were to give me money, I would say to you, by 2020, you would have a structure that is working perfectly. Amateur versus open boxing versus Olympic-style boxing. I'm happy to say that, Honorable Chair, this coming weekend, that is Saturday, the constitution that you have in front of you would have been revised in the sense of us having open boxing once and for all. Because that is now the statutes and bylaws of IEBA requires of us to actually do that. But it's really not an overnight thing. It's a process. But the first thing to start off with is by having this in the AGM that we're having this weekend. And as I said earlier on that, in Port Elizabeth, in January, we had the Ethics Commission, the Medical Commission, sitting together, simply because, especially the Ethics Commission, was to look at the Constitution. The main reason why there were these kind of changes in the Constitution is that, much as we adopted the existing Constitution on the 30th of November, we wanted to make sure that we have a structure in place to actually go and revisit everything that has been said. The kind of equipment to schools, what we have given the schools are the basic things, like your punch bags, your gloves, your coaching staff, as well as a medical box that goes along with that. And now in terms of punch bags, it's actually different sizes. In terms of gloves, it's actually different sizes. And then the coaching equipment as well, it's all various types of, but it is just a basic one. But now, what is also important to note is that a school that has been identified, we always ask the principal and a local club to work together so that at least they can exchange skills. That is the most important thing. In terms of our boxers, turning professional prematurely. Honorable Chair, what we have done is that our International Federation or Association, IEBA, has introduced two programs. The WSB, which is World Series Boxing, and APB, which is IEBA Professional Boxing. Now, we've got three categories. One is AOB, which is IEBA Open Boxing. Two, we have WSB, which is World Series Boxing. And then the third aspect is APB, which is IEBA Professional Boxing. So, IEBA Open Boxing, that is what we are doing right now in South Africa. We have districts, we have provinces, we have national championships, we have the zone, we have Africa, we have the Olympics, we have world championships. All right? So, the reason why I went back to amateur open boxing is simply because I just wanted you to understand what I'm talking about. But at the end of the day, amateur boxing, that is the word that we must forget about. It's open boxing. So, in other words, if there was a board here, I would be able to draw. So now, what happens is that you've got open boxing, us as SANABO. You have World Series Boxing. World Series Boxing is semi-professional boxing. Okay? Semi-professional boxing in the sense of, I can see the honorable member. Semi-professional in the sense of, what you want to do is I want to retain Thulani Mbenge in open boxing, because I don't want him to turn professional under Boxing South Africa. So, under the same house, under SANABO, we have, not now, but it will be open boxing, it will be World Series boxing, it will be AIBA professional boxing. World Series boxing is one thing. My secretary here will have a franchise, and I will have a franchise. Right? She will have a team of boxers with her, I will have a team of boxers with me. But there is a man that is organizing these tournaments, which is the boxing marketing arm. In other words, if you were to look at this, it will be like professional boxing. But what is happening is, honorable member, is that this is created by AIBA in order to retain our boxers. Now, a boxer that is in the World Series boxing signs a contract with the boxing marketing arm. This boxer is guaranteed $1,500 per month as long as he is in the contract. When he wins, he is guaranteed $2,000 bonus. When he loses, he still gets about $500. This is now to retain our boxers. Now, these boxers that we are talking about have got the right and they've got their own qualification route to the Olympics. That is one part. The second part is, now in South Africa, in July, we will get our response from AIBA whether we can introduce World Series boxing in South Africa. Right. Then the third aspect is AIBA professional boxing. Once again, under the same house, these boxers get into contracts and they get full-time payment as long as you're still boxing under APB, that is AIBA professional boxing. So now, the same boxers that we are talking about that are AIBA professional boxers can still go to the Olympics. So now you've got three categories, the open boxing, WSB, as well as APB. These three categories can still go to the Olympics. The main reason for this, it is just to ensure that we retain our boxers under the same house as SANABO. That is the main reason. Now, going to I've touched base on the memorandum of understanding between ourselves and BSA and where we're going. Northwest, I'm happy that you have asked this question, Honorable Chair, in the sense that right now we have an interim structure in the Northwest. If I had this up there, I would be showing you pictures. Because we went to the Northwest, as from last year, to try and restore the status of Northwest. There is a lot of infighting which resulted into us going there to ensure, or in other words, intervene. So at this stage, we have an interim structure that is in place, and this interim structure is there to work towards a fully-fledged election so that we can have a structure. Now, the challenges, one, to get somebody from the Department of Sport to be on board. Two, to get somebody from the Sports Confederation to be on board. Those are the challenges that we are having, because we want to ensure that after we have intervened, at least there is sustenance of what we have done. So at this stage, we have an interim structure there.
President, with due respect, members, this one is a simple question. How can we have a challenge once we have an existing department to get somebody to be part. I'm just saying that it doesn't even mean that we must wait, and I can't say it's a challenge. Maybe you can tell us. When you are saying it's a challenge, was we were all sitting here belonging to this department, how can it be a challenge? Elaborate on that.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The challenge, Honorable Chair, to us is that we have had numerous meetings and we have invited representatives from the department as well as the Sports Confederation, and up until now we haven't had a meeting with these two stakeholders.
You know, when we are briefing us, wanting us to assist, we've said challenges and solutions. Now, if maybe with no time and then getting off this door, not knowing the challenge, how are we going to intervene? Let's try to put things as they are. If it's a fox bait, it must be a fox bait. Because we are here to do intervention. We are here to do oversight. So, Tina, we are ready to call our department in that this is what we've found, and we're thinking that it can't be a challenge while we're still having an existing department, and then no one is taking care of the request from SANEPO while the department is still alive. So sometimes when you're giving us a briefing, we're here because we are here, SANEPO, and we are doing oversight even to our department. Our role, where there are gaps, we need to jump. So I'm saying to anyone who's going to respond, say the challenges and say why this challenge is existing. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Can I make an example of Mpumalanga? Honorable Chair, on Thursday, we are going to Mpumalanga to intervene, especially with the issues that you have, the Honorable Member has spoken about. The most important thing, Honorable Chair, is that when we called upon Mpumalanga stakeholders to be part of the meeting, indeed, they are available. But in Northwest, no one is available and no reason is given. I think the Honorable, my secretary can even allude to that effect. So we have written numerous letters for the meetings to be held and no one is available to attend. Now, in Mpumalanga, it's a total different case whatsoever. Okay, thank you. Coming to Mpumalanga, I think the issue here is that you have Landscaping and Paul Fesha that have got maybe personal clutches. However, I do not want to sit here and have a preconceived kind of ideas as to what is the problem. However, as I'm saying now, on Thursday, we are going to Mpumalanga to address this issue. And all the stakeholders, the Sports Confederation, the department, the academy, Paul Fesha, Lance Gibson will be in that meeting to try and resolve this. So, but I'm happy that you are aware of it, and we will find out exactly what is happening. Indeed, Mpumalanga has got boxers. Mpumalanga has got boxers. And Wesley Lance, that you have made mention of, and some other boxers as well, have got potential. And unfortunately, Wesley couldn't participate in the trials now in February because of an infection, but he will still be going to the national championships. SASCOC and SANEPO relationship, at this stage, I will be happy to say that we have a working relationship with SASCOC. Much as we might not subscribe to some of, like for example, selection criteria, looking into where SANEPO is at this stage, But in terms of working relationship, we have a working relationship. And as I said earlier on, we have two boxers. Okay, it was three, with Thulane now turning professional. But we have got two boxers that are on OPEX. And the issue about Thulane, Sasok wanting money back from Thulane, it's all to do with the contractual issues of OPEX. They need reinvestment for whatever development that they have done, or contribution rather, that they have done. And so that is a matter that is dealt with Thulane. So, I mean, it's between Thulane and Sasok at this stage. What is our role? Our role, we're not happy that Thulane has turned professional, but it does not mean that we are saying Sasko, go and get your money back. We're not happy. It's an open fact. We're not happy about it because we still believe that Thulane was and still part of our plans going forward. But at the end of the day, the issue about him having to pay money is really between him and Sasko at this stage. Okay, constitutional matters that had to be revised. The most important thing here is that as we go along, AIBA keeps on updating the statutes and bylaws, so we have to follow suit as well. In terms of the boxing in Durban, we were involved in the boxing in Durban. That was 2013, maybe. 2013, yes. We were involved in the boxing in Durban. However, the agenda that was put forward was not approved by AIBA because it involved and it was surrounding professional boxing and not open boxing, so to say. So hence the request to the DG that we should sit down and look at a boxing in Durban that is relevant to SANABO. Because at some stage, our interests and issues are not the same. So, but we had to be out of the in Durban simply because of our statutes and bylaws. Okay, in terms of value, I think I have touched base on the issue of Thulane Mbenge. In terms of the value add of AIBA, what AIBA does, they have, as from the conference they had in Korea last year, they are giving money to the confederations, which is now the continents, and the continents in turn must look at the cake and see as to how many slices each country can have under their jurisdiction. And then the Honorable Chair made mention of the six provinces. As I said, the six provinces, right now this year, we are actually looking at all the provinces in terms of the school equipment and school support for the project. And that's what is going to happen this year. In terms of the parallel structure, I think that maybe the Honorable Chair was referring to boxing South Africa. In terms of the boxing South Africa, I think, as I said earlier on, that BSA and us will actually be meeting and revisiting the Memorandum of Understanding so that at least we can craft the way forward. And I think if and only if there's anything that I left out, I will give over to my colleagues just to...
Before that, President, I'm suspecting that after your responses, there are follow-ups. At least we have our own time today. Honorable members, before other questions are responded, he has got so many things that he responded on. Any follow-up so far? Honour from Malazwe.
Thanks, Chair. The follow-up is within relation to SASCOC selection criteria and what the expectations are. Can you just clarify, I mean, as an organization, your international mother body would be IBA, and you have to comply with those. And SASCOC, as a local Olympic body, obviously that also contributes something for the development of your athletes, makes a contribution. And there's this tension regarding, you know, what you consider a reasonable progress for qualification into representation. How do you resolve that? Because it's a permanent problem that is there. How do you plan to resolve that, or are you just gonna throw your hands up because SASCOC insists that it's money, because it throws money into this, it uses that. And secondly, what proportionate amount does AIBA then contribute? And you've just indicated holistically that it will give it to the continental body, and the continental body will then give to the respective countries. How's that formula? How does that formula work? Is it based on the number of continental championships one wins? And also related to that is, I didn't get the clarity as to whether SASCOC Selection Channel is just participation in international competitions or actual medals, whereas AIBA says you qualify through continental championships. So just clarify whether it's just mere participation or whether medals. And secondly, the issue of the traveling costs and accommodation costs of athletes. I want to make sure that my question is clear based on the information from you. Are you saying that SASCOC contributes money only for OPEX, and as the body you then have to cover for the trips of the athletes and their accommodation when they go to continental and international competitions? So if you can clarify those two.
Before that, President, maybe in the second response of yours, I'm feeling very bad for Uthulan, whose fault now if Uthulani, where is he going to get these monies, and what is the suggestion to the individual, somebody who now put in this problem in the next round? Can anyone take the first round response? Will come in the second round to respond on these two follow-up questions. Anyone, President, wanted to take a stake in the first question? No one.
I think there was one answer that we never answered in the first question, what was classified the woman's desk. I think honesty is important as well. And if you look at what was called the woman's desk in the previous grouping, was a window dressing, that was all it was. It didn't mean anything, and it didn't have any functions per se. And that's why it doesn't help to have people sitting on a desk that didn't have anything to do. So that's why the women's desk at this stage does not exist. And but part of our constitution determines that there must be a certain amount of women on the executive and in the different committees, and we stick to that.
On Vice President?
That's all I wanted.
Okay. President, let me take it back to the members. I've seen Honorable Ralhom, our whip. With sometimes honourable members, do you want me to give? There's these people who are making a hell of noise because they like this thing. They want to contribute. Sometimes it's not allowed, but if the members, because sometimes they do have some issues that they want, in order that our work must be smooth. Can I give these two officials after the members? You don't have any problem? Okay. Honorable Strike,
No, Chair. Well, I did make my input, and my submission that it's more about who controls this thing. Because even now, I mean, you are confirming that AIBA is now turning professional within itself, which means it's going to be well, because we have how many professional bodies, IBF, WBO, WBC, and the question really is, why would AIBA, because they own the right to open or professional, that theirs will have a straight route to steal Olympics. And my submission is that there is going to be a fight for that. So, in other words, we haven't seen the fight. It's going to be worse. Because the point that I was making really is that why don't we move on the basis of the interest of South Africa? Because I thought we should be guided by the interest of South Africa. I know the point that I'm making that maybe it's weak, because almost all the bodies have got affiliated to international bodies. But the point that I'm making is that as South Africans, we need to lead in terms of transforming some of these bodies. Because to a certain extent, they take us their guard. Because things don't remain the same, and that is why even AIBA is now turning professional, which is the point that the honorable members were making, that it's a natural thing that a boxer will want to, any boxer's next stage will be to turn professional and make money, make millions. Because sports is about money. So my take really is that we might have to ensure that we lead as South Africans in transforming some of these bodies, particularly if they are taking us backward, because it is going to be like that, really. Because I mean, it confirms what we've been saying, that they were conservative, the board, the international board for amateur boxing. Even during the time of boom in boxing South Africa, there were those tensions. But now I'm surprised that they are now turning professional themselves.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members, for this opportunity. Chair, I think I thought we should get in a clear indication, particularly regarding the so-called contractual obligations around Thulani, for the benefit of the members, so that one does not live here with the misunderstanding that the contractual obligations, whereas that in itself is supposed to aid an athlete and not work towards the disadvantage of an athlete. But secondly, around the women's desk, recently it's been reported that there's a newly established women's boxing arm, and that I think was launched in Bloemfontein either last year. And so the absence there of the explanation that has been given, to what extent can we marry the two, that there is a body of women boxers and yet there is no women desk or representative within the women desk.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. To the Honourable Member, in terms of SASPOC selection criteria, this year in January, I think it was in January when we had the one-on-one with SASPOC, and this was with regards to the selection criteria for the All Africa Games, the Commonwealth Youth Games, as well as the Olympics. Now, what was agreed in the President's Council was the selection criteria that I alluded to earlier on in terms of athletes qualifying for the Olympics must actually be involved or participate in the, in our case, World Championships. Athletes or boxers that will be going to All Africa Games must be the top three in terms of ranking in Africa, right? And then I have made mention of the fact that for the youth Commonwealth Youth Games in Samoa, we only have two. Now, if and only if, Honorable Member, we just folded our arms and did not question or try to influence the process, by now we could be saying we didn't even have boxers in the Commonwealth Games last year. By now we could be saying we didn't even have boxers in the Anoka Games. And the main reason for saying this is that we have appealed to SASCOC for the Commonwealth Games to say that we just came from suspension and our boxers are only zonal champions. And therefore, if you are actually asking for the top three in Africa to go to the Commonwealth Games, that is going to hamper the entire process. So we have appealed. And once again, the meeting that we held with SASCOC, where we were informed of the selection criteria, SASCOC's selection criteria supersedes that of the International Federation. And therefore, when we talk about boxers qualifying for the Olympics, ours now is to go to SASCOC and say, this is the situation, this is where we are right now, and our boxers can qualify on the at the continental qualification, so to say. So that is where the issue is right now. So we have to go back to them and then make an appeal. And especially that if, for example, we have boxers that do qualify in the continental qualifiers, then we have to go back to SASCOC and say, look, at the end of the day, we have three boxers. Much as your selection criteria supersedes the International Federation, but at least in terms of eligibility, we are eligible to participate in the Olympics. So that is one thing. And in terms of AIBA contribution, at this stage, I do not have figures, but on the 2nd of May this year, we will be having a meeting in Togo to actually discuss some of those issues, because when we came back from the Congress, no amount of money was stipulated, but there will be financial assistance towards the confederations, and the confederations will then divide the money according to the zones, because we've got four zones in Africa. So I'm hoping that we will get clarity when we attend the meeting on the 2nd of May. Traveling costs, what is happening is that at this present moment, two boxers that are on OPEX and two coaches are being looked at or after by, taken care of by SASCOC in terms of their traveling expenses. If we have a training camp, it means that we, as SANABO, must carry the expenditure of the other boxers, but only those boxers that are on OPEX will then get assistance from SASCOC. And then the issue of Thulani Mbenge, Honorable Chair, I think I will touch base on the contractual obligations as well. The issue of Thulani Mbenge, from our side as SANABO, we do not have a constitutional right to stop Thulani from turning professional. The contract, if we had money, that we would put in place is to say, we are developing you up to 2016, and if now your basic needs, if the money that we're giving you does not meet your basic needs, then that would be something else. However, as the organization, much as we are talking about memorandum of understanding between ourselves and Boxing South Africa, but we don't have a constitutional right to hold him back. Now, the contractual obligation, Honorable Member, between SASCOC and Thulani in terms of OPEX is to say, we are going to give you money from this date up until that date, and basically that's what happens. So at this stage, I will not tell lies to the committee as to what the intricacies of the contract are. I'm not quite sure at this stage. And I think the issue also of the women desk, I think my vice president was referring to the question of us having a women's commission. Okay, we don't have a women's desk within the organization, but we have got a women's commission that actually deals with all the issues of women development strategies and so on. So in terms of now, as I was saying, when we have national championships, these national championships are actually handled by the Women Commission. I thank you.
I'm suspecting this is the first meeting that we had all our time. Let me take this opportunity to say that we're looking forward to work with you. We're looking forward to that every now and then when a committee needs to have anything to be reported to the office or to the committee, we'll do so. Thank you so much with your informative briefing. We're happy with what we've got. We'll process some other things as a committee outside this meeting, that those which we need to take it up. Thank you so much, President. With these words, we finish the briefing and the engagement on the SANAB, which is open boxing. Maybe next time the documents, they will not going to write all these names. Thank you so much.
I thank you, Honorable Chair, and the Honorable Members as well. I think also for the committee, this was a learning curve indeed, and thank you so much for your time.
Let's now, the minutes are with us. At least today, we are so progressive. We'll be breaking for a lunch in time. Let me take this moment that let's look at our minutes starting from page 1. 3. To page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Any matters arising in the minutes of the last meeting? Except that the management committee will report on the Limpopo visit. We have discussed it. That thing is in the minutes. We'll report back, and maybe in the announcement, I'll report the trip to the Eastern Cape. How was it? I don't know whether it's necessary, but I'm suspecting. I've seen that these things are under matters arising. But also in the announcement, we can defeat it, or as I'm saying, that I've seen they've done in minutes in a stylish way, and I'm happy about the way that these minutes are written. And so the action, and I'm saying if you say these are true reflection of minutes, when we're doing the announcement, I don't know whether before announcement, yes, the meeting has set of the management, other things which are on these minutes are actioned. What is the approach, Honorable Members? Can anyone adopt the minutes? Anyone seconding? Nana. These are true reflection of our minutes. And then what next on the agenda is the announcement. Oh, matters arising. Okay. Okay. Honorable Strike. Honorable Malas.
Chair, I thought we must just lead us to deal with all the matters arising. It will include the Limpopo. It will also, you can give feedback around the issue of the trip that you undertook.
Honorable Malas.
Thanks, Chair. It's a different point, but it's just a concern about like the administration process of getting documents. I'm not sure how it works, but I think maybe we should just plead. In fact, we should just instruct them that we get documents well in time, because some of us leave here on a Friday morning. We get back on a Monday morning. On Monday evening. So unless we've received hard copies, sometimes the electronic copies, we can't open them on our devices. It's such a mission to prepare fully for meetings if we haven't received documents before we leave for our constituencies. And most of the time, I mean, speaking for myself, I live here mostly on Friday mornings, and if we haven't received hard copies, it means that the only time I'll ever get those documents is in this meeting. So sometimes, you know, I think we need to look at just convenience for members for documents, because it does a disservice to our preparation.
I'm suspecting we are saying, after I've said the departments, they must give our offices the document in time, but our office knows very well that the last day here is evening Thursday morning. most of honorable members, after the planners were leaving Cape Town, those who are not having committee and were part of those members that don't sit on Fridays unless there's something. So if you left Cape Town on Friday without documents and on Monday you are driving from Bizani to rush a flight to East London of 8 o'clock and then following Tuesday we are sitting here. Let's try that e-office must emphasize to these departments, it's Waske with minutes, I don't want to say anything really, that we must have our own copies in time. Sometimes it's like each department, they're always thinking that Walees who don't read documents. Immediately that you are raising a question of the information which is in the document that you didn't have time to. You see, this Bible, I didn't even look at it when I'm getting in here in this chair. I've seen this document. This document is today's meeting document. And as we are seeing that, even your good self will get in. Let's try to look both sides. If it's departments or if these entities, they must know that who are one of those committee who wants to read and have a content in a meeting. Let's not do it. With the minutes, Unonweba is apologizing, and I'm suspecting that I must call Khadija, somebody who's looking after themselves, because they are complaining about their machines that sometimes they don't work. We cannot take that. Whilst the parliament has budgeted everything in this institution, so we'll be grilling them. But now that they've told me that they do have machines that they cannot print, no ways. We want to do our work, especially as this committee. I'm taking it very serious, members, what is going on. Almost every meeting we're complaining about the documents. It's worse when you're getting in the meeting that you don't have minutes. As I'm sitting here, this IT, those who are sitting in members' facilities, they have in 40 days that they've just cut your emails. Some of us were not even aware until we have seen things who are very serious. They're saying you have missed the cutoff date. If honorable members in your parties, you have somebody who's sitting in the members' facilities, there are so many things that were suffering. And I don't know why they are using that format. If after certain days you see that you don't get anything from your email and we're not aware until you ask why, they're saying that there's a cutoff days or whatever, that no, it's wrong. Let's take it very seriously to our parties that we cannot go on like that. Some of us were in serious trouble because of that. That a certain time your emails were in your email, but you've missed deadlines because we're not aware. You have seen that no one is emailing anything to you, but you were wrong. So, honorable staff of us, we have been doing well with us, but when we are not, we cannot say yes. Please, let's improve in this thing of documents. We can't get in minutes today. Because sometimes when you circulate our minutes, hard copy, we do get from our offices in order that when we are in the constituency, they know. But sometimes this thing that we want to be off these days, if Parliament is not assisting us with our emails. Thank you, honorable members. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity to tell you, with our constraints of time, we managed to have our own meeting that you always tell us, let's go and plan as in management. The thing that I must report on the management that we've discussed. We've discussed this thing of interviews. I don't want to lie again. I didn't get something that I was supposed to be given in time in order that I must report. We've sat on a Wednesday, today's Tuesday. With due respect, I don't even want us to elaborate on that. Today I was supposed to report fully what's going on. I cannot. As the committee members, you asked that anything that it must come here, I must process, I must see, in order that I must not say, what is this? So there's something that didn't happen since Wednesday till today. I will sit with my whip and the staff that there's something that didn't happen, and now we won't have advantage to discuss this thing of interviews. It's one other problem. Number two, we've discussed, questions. Number two, we've discussed the proposed that as we are thinking that when we are going to Limpopo, because the staff did show us how much do we have. We've said let's kill a bird with one stone. Let's not allow Honorable Strike and Honorable Malatz to go and present this regalia or your kit. Let's try to do a follow-up of our oversight visit. If we have some few cents that we are having, we don't want that they must think that we don't have anything to do. Honorable Bergman, you know that you have said you have little to say about oversight. It must not be our committee that cannot do that. So we are proposing that according to your, your proportional representation, like when we are visiting your trips or whatever, let's take that. But I'm very, very strict. Those parties who are not attending regularly, even if because they do have their other committees, but we need to be strict that a certain date that they will tell you we must revisit Ilimbom as well promised. That visit, it must start in the morning and culminating on the event of giving back the kit with at least a sizable members of the committee. We are doing that because they've shown us that we do have a little money. We are proposing that. Honorable Strike will tell us how are we going to do that. And sometimes when these people are inviting us, they don't show the whole program of event. I went to this event of giving a kit in two schools. It was whole day and the afternoon of it. It was a good program because they invited a message of support. It was the Department of Health, Oncology, TB/HIV, Temba Leisure Rehab Center, Temba Hospices, and it was also a day of school tie. Those who know those things of emergency, Bantwana, Omanana, normal life. It was a good program because I was the last guest speaker. I was a bit panicking because main speaker, because the office was not aware and the arrangement was not that I'm going to stay there the whole day and afternoon. But this committee, they were saying that hey, this is the first kind of committee. Because I've told you, this is not about me, it's about my committee. And you know what? it went well. Some of us, they've shown the police, they came with these dogs who sniffing the drugs. And now the kids, they're starting to panic because seemingly that school, there are problems of drugs. Now they wanted, now that Ubanban, they called by name this dog, must start after day a little bit. But when I was about to remain as a main guest speaker, the kids came with all their kids on. It was something that it was very beautiful, and this I do encourage that as long as we're still in committee, let's try to do things like this. They were saying that maybe this committee is the first committee to do things like that. They are encouraging us. It went well. I've brought the agenda and then and the program. And then as I was on my way, I did get this email, read date of the handover for Nkandolo in Bizan. I hope this message receives you well. I still confirm that the Office of the Minister has given us Monday 16 for... Is this not Sunday? For handing over of the multi-purpose court in Kantolo Bizan. The Office of the Minister will notify the MEC of Sport and Recreation Eastern Cape, and the Office of the DG will inform the head of department of the event and provide them with the details of the event. Wish to invite you to be part of this. So this is one another invitation. This is the correspondence. And then, can you add anything from the management committee? Give to Honorable
I know that you are organizing for this handover in Limpopo. And I said there was a date.
Oh, Debo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as you explained earlier on, that the handover for the Limpopo attire, we have identified the date of the 26th and 27th precisely because it is the last day for this term of Parliament. But secondly, there's no oversight in the parliamentary calendar. So it will be that trip that we think that the political approval would be granted because of the nature and the you know, that there's no tightness of the program on the last days of the trip. And Chair, you mentioned that since that there's an indication that there's a budget, that we ought to bring it to this meeting to invite other members, and as you indicated, that maybe 5 members on a proportional basis. So we needed to find out who the members would be and confirm the numbers so that we can then start with the application. We can't do the application until you know, because they need to, the House Chair and the would need to see the names of the members who would be in that. Thanks, Chair. So that is the process that we can, so that we can start with the process of application.
Chair, mine was just a minor one in relation to your first issue of, I think it was on matters arising, where you referred to interviews. So I wasn't following properly. I was just wondering what interviews you were referring to.
No, it can't be a secret. But I didn't want to, after the problem of minutes, telling this another hiccup, but Honorable the Whip will tell you.
You remember they did brief us, first year. We are worried because we must close that, but it looks like there is going to be delays because the 26th is the last, and we don't know, so
I thought the chair by now shall have processed. So it's the point that he was making, that he wants to process Safia interviews as urgent as possible. So that if possible, the members should be prepared to then spend more time to ensure that we finish that as urgent as possible.
Honourable members, the problem with that, we've said I must be given the whole names and I must try to check the process of the screening and what do you call in real terms of vetting. Not coming here to tell you that all are vetted, all are, but that process we were supposed with the WIPO that I must get all the names and I must consult and come to the committee saying that the screening, you see in these days people will be confirming their qualification, that those qualifications are not there. I don't want that this committee must get into that. So I know the process of vetting, that it starts from somewhere. I can't come to my committee to put them to that vulnerability. I wanted that those CVs and the names I must get, and I know what I was going to do, and very strictly, because vetting is very, very important. But these files, I'm getting them this morning. So I will ask Uwipo that let's have a chance tomorrow. We're supposed to have a chance on Thursday. We didn't have that chance. So I'm saying I don't want to report something that we're not yet processed, because you will be asking me, what did you do? Why are we having somebody who said he has got a PhD, but he doesn't have it? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. These 3 years can end me in trouble. But, Chair, I just wanted to say, in terms of the oversight, and I do reiterate that unfortunately our oversight is weak. Notwithstanding the challenges that we have in terms of budgets and what have you, I think there are ways in which to kind of beg, steal, and borrow from other organizations. And I think what we should look to do, is be quite clever in how we budget. So, for instance, the overseas trip that we're taking, I mean, as I said, there's ways in which we can even cut that down to in cost in terms of where we travel and et cetera, et cetera. But to go back to looking at Tsubofu and to go to Limpopo again, I think what we should first do is write to the MEC or to the office and find out what's happened since we were there. Get some undertaking there. There's the rest of South Africa where we haven't visited. You know, I'm interested to go and see our facilities. I'm interested to go and see what had been done that hasn't been done. And I know that although we've only visited 2 provinces, and we work in the 1 province, so this, I mean, for us, we could even just take a combi one day or a bus and just go somewhere and oversight chair. But for me, I think we have to just work, you know, understand that this term, there is no oversight. I can understand that it hasn't been... it's not facilitated for, but there's going to be 3 other terms in this year, and if we pre-plan now, even if we fly, if we use our own entitlements to fly to an area, whatever the case may be, I'm willing to do it myself. But I just think that we can fit in more with less. Again, if there's a tournament taking place like the National School Championships, they're spending 60 odd million rand to have the school championships. We should be there. I think we should see how they implement it, what they do, how they do it, why they do it. And for me, it's a case of if you're spending 63 million, we've got our tickets. Why can't we'll dovetail with them in their holiday, in their hotel expenditure and get the same discounts?
Honourable, we do take your point. And in this committee, surely I know we're working as a collective. But I'm suspecting our program was very tight in this few. And with the oversight, especially the other trips, I'm suspecting we didn't prioritize the oversee Africa or international, who have been saying since the inception of the committee, maybe can take a blame to all of us. What happened? Why we didn't have a permission? Because you can't just wake up and say that I'm going. We've been saying that we want to take is either Africa trip or international. As I'm sitting here, even the question of the international trip, sometimes being politicians, we can confuse our staff. Today, we do in a way agree about that other one, and then not finalizing, coming this committee, discussing different views, and maybe we left committee without saying that we want ABC. This thing of, I want that you must emphasize more, this thing of thinking that sometimes you cannot go in these things of the sport and recreation where there are big events, I don't think that it can assist us. The department does have a program and a calendar that is there. But sometimes it is our good selves, committee members, that we don't want to prioritize those events. Maybe it's high time that, as you are saying, Honorable Bergman, that we must prioritize. We know what is going to happen in each month of the year. We need to prioritize the calendar of the sport. Sometimes we'll be feeling that, never mind, even if we didn't go there. But sometimes we'll be saying that, why we're not there? So that's a point management. Come with a calendar that it is there in the department. If they didn't give us, I'm suspecting they did. Let's plan accordingly, and let's come to the committee to confirm that we'll attend 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It must be in our program. Never mind of those that they are inviting us randomly. But we know what is going to happen. We are taking that criticism. It's for us all. With the oversight, we cannot not to go to Limpopo, Honorable Member. You were there when we filled us and promised that we are coming in March. So if by mistake we don't fulfill what we have promised people as a committee that we are going to go back to their office, it's going to be also our oversight, because we are not just going there for leisure. We have promised them. And you know what? We used to this parliament not to tell schools where we are going during opening of schools. As a committee, we need that one other day. They must see us taking a decision here, wanting a transport just get next door in the Western Cape to have a surprise visit. But this one, it can't be a surprise visit because we confirm to themselves, but we are seeing time that it doesn't allow us. Let's not go and hand over only the regalia, the kids. Let's also do that follow-up. And then with them, the letter must be written as from today that you are coming back as we promised. So with that, with due respect, we need to go to Limpopo because we promised them that we are going to go. If honorable members, they don't mind, let's ask, as we are saying, as all we are saying, that they must write a letter to the department. The department here of sport, they've accompanied us. They are hearing that we are going back there. Other people who are with us, that they've accompanied us, is in sports trust. Let's tell them, because even them, they've promised in front of the communities and of the departments that they will assist ABC. Let's finish this one. But I'm telling you, next term will be hands-on, will improve of what we are complaining about, which is we are right. If you notice where we are weak, won't be weak at this committee, but maybe there were challenges. We'll do that. Anything, honourable members? Usune has shown me that out of that we have said we want two members to go there. Now the members must be five, and in these five, who honourable the whip who leads the delegation, who honourable Malazi, because he has been involved of facilitating. So who are other three members? He's saying three ANC. It can't be one with the A as an official opposition, but 311. But there are those who are not attending this committee, I'm jealous. Honourable members, Honourable Lekhoma, Honourable Malaza, Manana, Musi, yes, it's three. Can you have two from the opposition parties, not from wherever? Because sometimes where is he? They've been not attended. I'm very, very jealous about the committee. And whilst the formula is saying that people who are not been with us in the committee, I don't want that we must apologize even for the trips. Honourable members, you are putting me in a corner. People who are just guests in the committee, I don't want them to go with us, because we are going to contribute there with people that every day they are in this committee and contributing. Irrespective, if it is a member of the ANC that is not attending this committee, when it comes to time that we must take trips, even the local trips, they must not enjoy that benefit. Am I wrong, honourable members? I'm not. I want that in our committee. Let's prioritize people who always attend our meetings and prioritizing our meetings. And I'm seeing that I'll this whipper of mine, I'll even put it to ANC members that every day they are being excused in this committee. Really, I'm angry.
While I do not want to oppose your views and sentiments around the issue of representation, but the rules and the law require that be followed to the latter. And so, yes, Chair.
Members, I do get what he's saying. I know the rules. I know that when you are going for a trip, you must use this formula. Honourable Bergman, I do understand, but I was just thinking that sometimes it doesn't make sense that you are taking people who are just part-time in this committee, because we are not going for a leisure, and sometimes you can demotivate a member that you are thinking that he or she must join us, and writing down to the house chairperson that even to his or her party that he doesn't or she doesn't attend regular committees. That is allowed, that chairperson and the committees must demotivate. Honourable Bergman, I do understand the rule.
I don't know how this usually works apart from the ratio, but if the motivation recommendations that you can make so that we don't make, I mean, two wrongs don't make a right, so that, you know, you can motivate on the basis of, you know, attendance in portfolio committee and consistency, that it makes sense to have these members based on the reasons you outline, so that we are not in a situation where we are not trying to do the right thing through the wrong means.
This proposal in front of me, because they are involved as the office to look on what we're doing as a committee. There is this Honorable Ralihoma, Honorable Malatsi, Honorable Manana, Honorable Musi, and Honorable Mabika. That's the thing. Maybe I was reacting. It's not because I like Honorable Bergman, because it's Bergman. It's because of his and his attendance in the committee that I was thinking that he must be part of that. I've nothing to do about the parties. Here we are committee members and ANC, but I can motivate for honorable member who's got a passionate about this committee. Because Honorable Mabika did go with us, but now the regularity of his attendance is not like the attendance of Mr. Bergman. Let's take care of that, honorable members, that next time we need to be honest in the committee in front of each and every member of this committee. So Honorable Mabika is part of the delegation, and I don't have anything with himself, but I'm suspecting that I'll go to the House Chairperson and trying to sit down with him, saying that what do we do when a committee is supposed to go and follow the rule of parliament. That is 1-1. But if those 1-1, they are those who, because of themselves committed in other committees, not always contributing in this committee. Can I have that mandate, honorable members? But for today, let's take it as it is.
Doing that, just check. I just check in with the committee assistant here to say, perhaps if you can allow us to see if we cannot add to have 6 members attending on that. And put an application on 6 members instead of 5.
Yeah, cause this, if we can do that in the proposed trip, do that, I will be happy if that thing can approve. Cause House Chairperson, maybe he's going to say we were just cutting costs, not to take the whole committee, but 1-6, honourable member.
Sorry, because it pertains to me, in the interest of cutting costs, I'll actually not support that suggestion. I'm the one saying that we should be cutting costs, that to be hypocritical of me to actually then take part of the budget to come with. We're well represented from the VA.
Honorable Bergman, I can't support what you are saying. This is our last trip on our budget. We can cut costs when the budget doesn't allow us. This is our last trip that we need more members of the committee. Besides the ratio, let's propose 6 names, and you must include the name of Honorable Bergman on those 6 names. I don't want people think that I'm doing favor for you. No, it's not a favor. It's a contribution of each member in this committee. It is very important. Like, as I'm saying, once I was a chairperson in one committee, I was not allowing even this rule to apply. And I was demotivating. If they are saying, Beauty, you must go to do what we have been not prioritizing this committee. In rule, it is there for ukukaterish ukusebenza to working of the committee. But if now we can take people that they are not prioritizing our committee, but when we have trips, it seems some other honorable members, they rejoice to go up and down, but not doing the dirty work. Because when we are here, we are doing dirty work, we are discussing, we are differing in some issues until we said, let's shake the committee. We need to be very, very careful. I know that they will be asked, why did you allow a committee to do ABC? Because they do have a role to play, that even when we are going to choose a chairperson to do ABC, the office must do that. But I'm saying really, now I will demotivate the name of the member who's not attending the committee. I'm jealous of this committee. Honourable members, today I've forgotten to tell you that we have two apologies. Honourable Ntsayiza is always having apologies. And then today, Honourable Moteka is becoming attending this committee by apologies. Sometimes he has not been sending his apologies until I've said in a meeting. So we've got two apologies. Thank you so much, honourable members. I'm suspecting that we all love sport and recreation, and we don't want to miss anyone who's committed to transform the sport and recreation. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, honourable members. The meeting has been closed.